Well, good morning, Purpose Church. I have missed you all so much. Oh, I've missed you all so much. I am so glad that you are joining us, and I just want to welcome everyone joining us in person here, everyone in the community terrace, everyone joining us online on YouTube or on our Apple or Spotify podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I've been waiting a couple weeks now to tell you this. I love you so much. I love you so much, but most importantly, God loves you. And I don't know what you walked in here with. I don't know how excited you are about what's going on in your life right now, or how much of a bummer situation you're in, or what you're struggling or going through, but I do know that God loves you deeply. And so let's do what we love to do. Let's open our Bibles together. You can find me in Psalm chapter 63. And while you're opening to Psalm 63, again, I have missed you all so much. I've been on an extended study leave, taking some time to really pray and to discern where is God leading our church. And I just got to tell you, as I was kind of envisioning what the next 18 months might look like, I am so excited about where it seems the Lord is leading us. And I'm so glad that every one of you are a part of that. We also had some time to vacation as a family and just reconnect, and it was amazing. But here's what's so cool about Purpose Church. While I was gone, God was doing some amazing things as he always did. In fact, while I was gone, 37 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ here at Purpose Church, which was amazing. That's incredible. And while I was gone, our church grew by 8%, okay? Y'all don't even need me. Maybe I'm getting in the way. I don't know. But our church is growing, and God is doing amazing things. And I just want to give one last encouragement for what Andrew talked about. We have team night coming up in a couple Wednesday nights. This is one of my favorite nights of the year, where we gather all of the volunteers across all the ministries of Purpose Church. If you serve once a month or more, we want to gather together for a time of a great catered meal. We've got some games planned. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have a time of encouragement in his word. And then we're going to get trained together as teams, because our theme this year is engage. We believe God has called us to engage even more as individuals and as a church. And so if you're a part of our hundreds of volunteers that make Purpose Church happen, we want to explore together what it looks like to even be more fully engaged as we help others. So please sign up. It's absolutely free, purposechurch.com/serve. I also want to thank our amazing guest preachers while I was gone. We had Pastor Claire, we had Pastor Scott, we had Pastor Joey, and we had Pastor Glenn. Were they incredible? I mean, God just used their words in such powerful ways. I'm so, so grateful for them. And they helped kick off our series that we're in today called Never the Same. This psalm changed my life. And today we are talking about how to fully experience God even when life is crazy. And maybe you're coming in here today and you're wondering, is that even possible? I mean, is it possible to really fully experience God when life is crazy? I mean, maybe you could fully experience God if you became a monk. Maybe you could fully experience God if you had zero responsibilities. Maybe you could fully experience God if your kids were perfectly behaved. Maybe you could fully experience God if you had a lot more money. But can you really fully experience God when life is crazy, when life is hard, when life is painful, when there's challenges and difficulties that you're not sure how it's all going to get sorted out? You know, these last couple weeks, God was teaching me that lesson exactly. We were on vacation in Lake Tahoe with my parents and our family, and it was set out to be an amazing vacation. And then the very first day of vacation, I was sensing this kind of growing pain in my abdomen, and it was like tightening and some cramping and bloating. I just could tell something was wrong. Something was going on. And so we spent the first day of vacation in the ER. In fact, I have a picture of me in that ER gown. Nobody looks good in that, okay? That's just like, just looks like you're gonna die, but it's just bad looking. And so I'm sitting there and we're trying to make the best of it. I actually went in for a second day during that vacation. And I remember going, okay, Lord, where are you in all of this? This wasn't according to plan. And yet God met me. I experienced God even in this situation. Well, last week, our family had the opportunity, actually me and the kids had the opportunity to be at Forest Home, the camp where our students go for camp. I had the opportunity to preach up there. There were several hundred junior high students there. It was amazing. In fact, we have two of our junior hires that are here. They actually live, this family right here in the middle. You girls can wave real quick. This family right here, they live in Cypress in Orange County, but they wanted to come to Purpose Church this morning to keep the camp high going. So way to go, junior hires, way to go. But we had an amazing, amazing week at Forest Home. Me and the kids were all at Forest Home in Forest Falls because my wife, Sarah, was at the Forest Home in Ojai Valley. She was speaking and helping to lead a ministry for foster care students. And so that was an amazing experience for her. But it was me with all four of our children. And my go-to answer as a dad is, go ask mom. Like, that's just like kind of the default. I couldn't do that. So I had to actually like raise the kids. And so I'm kind of, you know, we're trying to do that. And it was a great experience. But then like, the morning that I was preparing to preach the gospel at night, give students an opportunity to respond, Charlie, my oldest son, Charlie, and he gave me permission to use this. You guys know I pay them when I tell them stories about them. So he's making money. He's fine. But he was sitting on this stair rail and he was like, guys, look at me. And he was like kind of leaning around and he leaned back and he hit his head and he started bleeding and he's okay. He was totally fine. No even stitches needed, but he was bleeding a little bit. And he thought it was really funny. He's like, take a picture, Dad. I don't want to scare mom, right? And so I was like, well, let's not just scare mom, let's scare the whole church. So I'm gonna show you a photo. Charlie's fine, he's okay. He lost a few brain cells, he's fine. Okay, he's okay. But this was Charlie up there at camp, and I know that's kind of scary, but he was so bummed about his Dodgers shirt getting blood on it. That literally was his prayer request. He was like, God, please take out the blood in my Dodgers shirt. That was his prayer. But we were at the hospital. We were at the hospital, and I was like, Lord, I think I'm up here to preach, but now I'm at the hospital. God, where are you? And we had an amazing week at camp. It was incredible, and saw so many students make decisions for Christ. And on the last morning of the last chapel session, I was kind of preparing to give my last sermon, and one of the students came up to me and just was like, man, God really, you know, did an amazing work in my life this week, and I drew a portrait of you, and I wanted to give it to you. And this is a junior high student, and right before I preach, as maybe a source of encouragement, this is what that junior higher gave me. That's how they see me. And like, I don't know what the single curly Q is, but the most discouraging thing about this whole drawing is that even being so far away from me, he could still see all the bags under my eyes. And these two girls, you would never do that. I know it wasn't you. It was other evil junior high students who did this, not you girls. But it actually made me really excited to come back and preach at Purpose Church, because never once have you guys ever given me anything like this. And if you ever are inspired to draw something of me, just don't give it to me, okay? Just keep it at yourself. I don't need that. But can you, when life is crazy, when there's disappointments or discouragements, when things don't go according to plan, can you fully experience God? And that really is an important question when we look at the behind the scenes of Psalm 63. You see, David, he is in a dry and barren desert. He's in the Judea wilderness, and he is currently on the run. The Bible tells us twice that David finds himself in this Judean desert, once when he's fleeing King Saul, who is trying to kill him, and then a second time when he's fleeing Absalom, his own son, who is trying to kill him. Based on the context of Psalm 63, we believe that he wrote Psalm 63 when he was fleeing Absalom, his son, because David refers to himself as the king in this text. Could you put yourself in his shoes? His relationship with his son has gone so awry that he wants to kill him. How do you fully experience God when life is crazy? Well, I think David gives us two ways. Number one, chase after God like nothing is more valuable. Psalm 63 begins like this. David writes, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you.
I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. We'll get to it in a moment, but that line where David says, I have seen you in the sanctuary, it just reminded me. I was praying with a Purpose Church member just yesterday who was sharing with me that she's going through some really painful, difficult things right now in her life. And she said she came to church last Sunday, and it was like the words that we were all singing together, which, by the way, when you sing in worship, I know Larry's like, let's get you singing, sing louder, sing louder. You know partly why Larry's doing that? Because when we all sing together, it encourages people in ways you don't understand. And it not only helps us elevate our thoughts and our minds and our praise to God who deserves it, but it helps us encourage those around us. This woman said that she came and then just hearing Purpose Church singing out truths about God, that the battle belongs to him, was so encouraging. And then a shout out to our amazing prayer team. She said some gentleman just prayed for her at the end, and she literally said, it felt like Jesus was praying for me. David says, I have seen you in the sanctuary. David has seen the power of God. He has witnessed the power of God, and he is confident that God's love is better than life itself. And David, he uses a very specific Hebrew word, which is what the Old Testament was written in. He uses the word hesed for God's love. It's the word that shows up 240 times. It means God's kindness, his loving kindness, his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness, his loyal love, and his acts of kindness. David is saying, God has been faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to him. God has been kind and gracious to me when I had turned my back on him. He says, God's love is better than life. A couple years ago, when I was reading through Psalm 63, I wrote in my prayer journal, in my Bible prayer journal, God is personal, intimate, close, and committed to us. He is faithful, we are unfaithful. He has chosen us, we have rebelled. God saves, and we need saving. I am asking God to wake me up to the experiences of his love that are happening in my blind spots, so that I would be transformed in such a way that my whole being perpetually longs for more of him. And again, put this in context. David has had the very best food possible. David owns material possessions that very few had in his day. And David has had incredible experiences. And yet, considering all of that, David declares boldly, God is better. And yet, what do? Where do we go when life gets really crazy? We doom scroll on social media. We Google things for hours. We date anyone with a pulse just trying to make us feel better. We stress shop. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to tell all of us today, me included, that he wants to shake us up. He wants to wake us up from our spiritual apathy, because nothing and no one is better than God. And I gotta say this again, nothing and no one is better than God. That other person, that other job, that other experience, whatever it may be, there is nothing and no one is better than God. And maybe you're here today and you don't believe that, or maybe you're watching or listening online and you don't believe that, and that's okay, that's okay. But can I just ask you a question? How's the alternative working for you? Why is it never enough? Why is that next relationship not enough? Why is that new job or promotion not enough? Why is the applause of so many not enough? It's because your heart is desperately searching for God, and you won't be satisfied until he's your obsession. You need to know this about how God made you, whether you believe in God or not. You were made with a deep down soul level desire to be obsessed with God. And what sin does is it perverts that and distorts that and leads us to counterfeit obsessions that will never actually ultimately satisfy us. And yet that longing within you that says, this other thing can't satisfy me, it's because God put it there so that you would seek after him. Even in those crazy moments, even in the betrayal, even in the pain and the uncertainty. It's why the 4th century North African theologian St. Augustine said these profound words, "Fecisti nas ad te et iniquitum est cor nostrum donec requisicat in te." Oh, wasn't that powerful, Purvis Church? You guys got slain in the spirit. That's powerful stuff, right? No, I mean, unless you're the rare few of us who speak Latin, unless you're the 1%, these mean absolutely nothing to us because we don't read Latin. And that's kind of what we do with God's word, the Bible. I mean, we trick ourselves into thinking that God's word is nice and helpful for others, or maybe it's a nice daily practice for us when life is going smoothly. But once life gets crazy, once it begins to spiral out of control, once those deep fears and anxieties and uncertainties settle in, we go to other solutions and other sources of comfort. I mean, you could read words in the Bible all day, but until you rightly understand what they actually mean, and most importantly, rightly apply them to your life, they're just words on a page in a foreign language. But in English, here's what St. Augustine was saying. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Oh, it's actually part of God's grace that you still feel that restlessness. It's a part of God's grace that you still aren't satisfied with anything else, because only God can. You see, this is where it got real personal for me. I remember when I was a junior high student and I was going to youth group and going to church. That's what we did as a family, but my heart was so far from God. In fact, I was chasing after everything else. I was chasing after everything the world had to offer. I was smoking weed. I was drinking alcohol. I was being exposed to pornography. I was doing everything that the world said, this will satisfy you. This will give you life. And I put on a front. I tried to convince everyone I could that I was living this adventurous life. I was constantly running from the police as a skateboarder. I mean, I was just doing all that stuff. And yet I felt dead and empty inside. It never satisfied me. And then I found God in the sanctuary. I found God in Christian community. I found God in his word. In fact, just yesterday, August 9th, was my 24th spiritual birthday. 24 years ago, I gave my life to Christ and everything changed for me. And in fact, it was up at Forest Home. We have a picture. This is me up at Forest Home. This was the week of camp. This was a Thursday. I think we can zoom in on this photo. I am a freshman in high school at this photo, even though I look like I'm 7. I was a freshman in high school. And when this photo was taken, this was Thursday morning, I was not a follower of Jesus. And then that evening, the gospel was shared in a way that I just couldn't avoid. And the Spirit of God was drawing me to himself. And I remember praying. I said, God, I give you my life, but would you make it adventurous? Because there was some weird thought in me that following Jesus could be boring. And I was like, I don't want to do that. There was something about this sinful life that I was living that had this tinge of adventure to it. And I wanted an adventurous life. And I think oftentimes that God must have just been laughing at me, because in 24 years of following Jesus, here is my testimony. There is no high, there is no buzz, and there is no adventure that comes anywhere close to following Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that compares to that life. It's one of the reasons I love that our students go to Forest Home. In fact, a couple weeks ago when our students went to Forest Home, and we'll show you some photos, 25 of them got baptized. 25 of them made a decision to be baptized. It was incredible. And I love camp because camp is where I met Christ, and I love the local church because that's where I was discipled. And our hope is that here that you would meet Jesus Christ. In fact, in a little bit, I'm gonna give you an opportunity for anyone who has yet to receive Jesus Christ to put their faith in him and then to become a disciple, to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But how do you chase after God? Like, nothing is more valuable. David, he says four words about this: seek, thirst, satisfied, and praise. First, David says, seek. You see, David did not passively seek after God. In fact, David uses the words, I earnestly seek you, Lord. So if you want to chase after God, like, nothing is more valuable, if you want to fully experience God even when life is crazy, you need to seek after him in the mornings. You need to seek after him when you're stressed. You need to seek him in the middle of an argument. You need to seek him after you get a promotion. You need to seek him with that health diagnosis that you weren't prepared for. Because if you search for God, one of the great promises of Scripture is you will find him. If you genuinely seek after God, you will find him. And here's just how I'm doing that right now, is I'm trying to do everything out loud. What I mean by that is I'm reading the Bible out loud. Have any of you ever had that experience where you just read the Bible for a little bit and you get, like, you know, a chapter in and you're like, I have no idea what I just read. Like pastors, we do that same thing, right? Like, I'm going, I have no idea what I just read. So I'm starting to read out loud to help me focus, to help me seek God. In praying, sometimes I'm praying in my mind, but I'm really doing a bunch of to-do lists and I'm thinking all the things I gotta do. So I'm praying out loud to help focus me. I'm worshiping out loud. I'm singing out to God because I wanna seek him earnestly. The second word David uses is thirst. David adjusted his appetite. He says, my whole being longs for you. I thirst for you. You know, a couple years ago, when I transitioned from being the high school pastor to being the associate lead pastor here, I was the heaviest I had ever been. I was a youth pastor. I'd been a youth pastor for 18 years, and friends, I ate everything that youth pastors get to eat, okay? And it's a good life until it's not, but it's a good life for a little bit. And I realized I needed to make some changes. And so I started to cut out some things. I realized that, you know what, a big culprit for me is bread. Like, you put bread in front of me, I'm gonna devour all of it, okay? I love bread, so I need to cut out bread. Second thing I cut out is desserts, only eating those once a week. And then the third thing I cut out was milk. And the reason I cut out milk is because milk is a gateway drug for me, okay? And here's what I mean. If you put a plate of cookies in front of me, I'll have a cookie. You put a plate of cookies in front of me with a glass of milk, I'm Santa Claus. It's all mine. Like, I'm going to devour the whole thing easily. And so I cut out milk. But the most surprising thing of all of it was that as I replaced some of the eating that wasn't as healthy or helpful for me, I started to eat what was better for me, healthier for me, and the most surprising thing happened. My cravings began to change. Now, I still have cravings for desserts and all those things, but I began to crave healthier food. Why is that? Because what you consume, you will crave. And that's kind of sometimes a backwards way of thinking, but it's actually true. That what you regularly consume, your body, your mind, and your spirit will crave. So I need to ask myself this question. I'm asking you to lean in. I wanna ask you this question, and it's this. What do you need to remove, add, or change from your daily life to make room for you to thirst for God? Is it some social media time? You know what I mean? Maybe you're like, man, I'm constantly looking at TikTok reels. I'm Googling things all the time. I'm constantly obsessed with political events or DIY projects around the house or whatever it may be. I mean, those things will consume you, and as they consume you, they will be the things that you continue to crave. See, David has adjusted his appetite to crave and to thirst for God. Number three, David uses the word satisfied. It's really interesting how it's written, how he wrote it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because David vows that he will be fully satisfied with God. He's making a declaration now. He is, in other words, pre-deciding. I've told you this before. My word for the year is pre-decide. Because he has pre-decided that he will be fully satisfied with God, which means David is staying long enough in his relationship with God to be satisfied by God. Friends, make no mistake about it. We live in a microwave culture where everything is almost instant. How many of you, you've mobile ordered something at Starbucks, and when it's not there within seconds, like you got the wrath of God coming up within you, right? In no other world has that ever been a possibility for us, for the human race, but we are in a microwave culture. Are you willing to stay long? Are you willing to pray about something, not just for a couple days, but a couple years? Are you willing to not just read a couple verses, but to read a book of the Bible? Are you willing to keep showing up to church? Even when you're going, man, that last sermon Eric preached really was horrible, but would you keep coming? Will you join a life group even when you go, man, that last one I was in didn't turn out the way I wanted to? Will you serve even if you're not seeing the results? You see, maybe we need to replace complaining and impatience with spiritual grit. Spiritual grit says, I'm leaning in and I'm here to stay because I am deciding I will be satisfied in God. Have you made that decision? And then number four, praise. In fact, here's maybe the secret of Psalm 63. 7 times, David mentions praising God, singing to God, lifting his hands to God, and glorifying God. See, it turns out, praise is not just what happens when we seek, thirst, and are satisfied in God, but praise propels us to keep seeking, keep thirsting for, and keep being satisfied in God. And here's what's so cool. When you chase after God like nothing is more valuable, you're gonna start to see him in you, and you're gonna start to see him through you. Now, I've been struggling with an illustration or a metaphor to describe what God is doing right now at Purpose Church in this unique season we're in. And the only metaphor that makes sense to me is that we are in a spiritual vacuum kind of moment. And what I mean by that is God is drawing people to himself through you all here at Purpose Church. That God is drawing people in like a spiritual vacuum to experience him in ways that are just blowing our minds. I just got to give you a few examples of this. 6 months ago, there was a woman who was driving up the street going to the grocery store on a Sunday morning, early one Sunday morning, and something told her to pull into this church parking lot. She has a mission to go to the grocery store. She feels she's supposed to pull into this parking lot. She comes into the parking lot. She sits down during the 8:30 worship service. We give an invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ, and she stands up to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. It's amazing. Literally, this was 6 months ago. She just came down and said hi to me a few Sundays ago and said, hey, Pastor Eric, I just want to let you know I'm still here at Purpose Church. I'm joining a life group. God's changing my life. It's amazing. That's incredible. She was just kind of drawn in. And then how about this? A couple Sundays ago, a woman came up front and we had given an invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ. And she received Jesus Christ. And I asked her, I said, what brought you to Purpose Church today? And she said, I was driving up the street and something told me to pull into the parking lot. She pulls into the parking lot at 11 a.m., she opens her door and she finds the first person she can see and she says, are there church services going on here? And this person, who was not a part of our greeting team, not a part of our parking lot ministry, all of a sudden becomes this conduit. This person says, yes, there's a service happening at 11:30. You should come in. Which, by the way, do you know this? That when you show up to church, it is not just about you coming, sitting down, experiencing God by yourself, and then leaving on your own. In fact, there may be very specific things God wants to do in and through you every time we gather. In fact, as you gather, when you welcome the people around you who are new, who you don't know, when you say hi to people out in the lobby, when you are almost to your car and somebody pulls in because something told them to pull in and they say, is there a church service here? God might be using you to eternally change somebody's life. And this woman gave her life to Christ. My wife, Sarah, literally seconds before I got up here, she just told me, she just met a man today. She was praying with somebody who said he was supposed to catch one bus to go somewhere. He missed that bus. His bus took him all the way here to Purpose Church. He came to Purpose Church, and now he's a part of our church. Like, what is happening? What is going on? There's more. Sam, where's Sam? Sam's over here. Sam's one of our worship leaders. The other day, Sam was going to the grocery store in the middle of summer. She's going to this grocery store, and she has a Purpose Church sweatshirt on. And she thinks to herself, well, I'm going to take off this Purpose Church sweatshirt because it's really hot, but for some reason, something told her to keep this sweatshirt on. And so she walks inside the grocery store. What she doesn't know is she's about to meet a checker at that grocery store who has had a complicated relationship with God, actually works at a place really close here to Purpose Church, sees Purpose Church every single day, but has never come to Purpose Church. This woman recently lost her dad and was just struggling. And on that morning that she was about to meet Sam, she wrote in a receipt or something, she wrote, God, will you show me a sign? And then she meets Sam. Then she meets Sam, representing, wearing a Purpose Church. And Christy, I think Christy, or someone's, maybe Christy's over here. There's Christy right there who designs a lot of our stuff. And Gavin, God literally used you, Christy, and Gavin, and all your graphic designs. This girl, when she interacted with Sam, told her the whole story and said, I think this is God answering my prayer. And now this young adult is getting connected here and reconnecting with God. Because the Lord is doing some kind of spiritual vacuum thing, and we can't fully explain it. We just want to be all about it. You see, if you want to fully experience God, even when life is crazy, you got to chase after him like nothing is more valuable. But number two, you've got to decide to hope in God when you feel hopeless. Look at David continue. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. See, I believe David is describing his sleepless anxiousness. He can't go to sleep. But what does he do when he's sleepless? He ponders God. He thinks about God's faithfulness. He puts his hope in God when his body and mind feels hopeless. See, what's fascinating to me is David's titles, David's military victories, David's strength, they aren't his hope. See, in his crazy moments, in his concern, in his heartbreak that his son wants him dead, he says things like, I think of you, God. You are my help. I sing to you and I cling to you. And some of you are here today and you just need to cling to God. That whatever's going on, you need to cling to God. And we see David's hope in God is unfolding in real time. Because David is not the hero of his story. God is. Who's the hero of your story? For David, he's not the hero. God is the hero. One of my favorite preachers, pastors, evangelists is a guy named D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody is from the 19th century, and I just love this guy. He's such an evangelist, such a practical preacher. God just used him in amazing ways. Him and I actually shared the same birthday, so I just feel this birthday connection with him. He's just really, really brilliant. And he said this in one of his sermons I was reading. He said, my attention was recently called to the fact that in all the Psalms, you cannot find any place where David refers to his victory over the giant Goliath. Isn't that interesting? In all the Psalms that David wrote, never once does he talk about how he slayed the Philistine warrior. Why? Because David's not the victor. Because David's not the hero of his story. You see, if you believe the Goliath in front of you is yours to defeat, you will be overwhelmed. If you believe the Goliath behind you was defeated by you, you will become prideful. But if you believe that God is the hero of your story, the one who is with you in the watches of the night when anxiety and fear plague you, then you will experience his love and comfort. You will breathe easier knowing that you are not holding the universe in your frail hands, but you are deeply loved by the one holding the universe in his all-powerful hands. That part in verse 11, where David says, while the mouths of the liars will be silenced, caused me to think about those last few moments of Jesus on the cross. Those moments where he was surrounded by mockers and liars. And when everybody was calling him names, and he had all the authority and the right to rebuke them, to end their lives, he did this instead. Luke chapter 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar. And they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." What a mocker. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And when the mockers and the liars are saying what they're gonna say. And when life was at its craziest for Jesus, he looked at this man hanging on the cross who was justly being condemned to death. Jesus looks at him, the only sinless person to ever live, God Almighty, and says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that silenced the mockers. That silenced the liars. How did God decide to overcome mockery and lies and lust and greed and deceit and jealousy and all the sins of our hearts and lives, all the things that we do that are disobedient to him? He died for us. Jesus never sinned, but he died and rose for every single sinner. The ones, the criminals dying next to him and you and me. In fact, in verse 47, the centurion, the Roman official in charge of making sure Jesus actually died, after seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." You and I are like the criminals on the cross. We will either spend our lives mocking Jesus, thinking wrongly that we can save ourselves, and then we will miss out on him for all of eternity. Or we will be like the other criminal who says, I recognize that my hope, my salvation, forgiveness can only be found in Jesus. If that's you, I want to give you an invitation, an opportunity to make a first-time decision to surrender your life to Christ, to begin a relationship with him. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer after me, but I want you to see it first. The prayer is, Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. I want to invite everyone right now to close their eyes. And with your eyes closed right now, I just want to ask you a question. Are you the criminal on the cross who has spent your life mocking God, mocking his forgiveness, or unwilling to repent and acknowledge that you need him? Or are you the one who's grateful? Maybe you have received his forgiveness. And if you haven't, remember, Jesus came for everyone everywhere. There is nobody who's too far gone. There was nothing you could have done that would disqualify you from being given the opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it is impossible to fully experience God without receiving Christ. And so right now, with every eye closed, if you have never put your faith in Jesus, if you've never received his forgiveness and made him the Lord of your life, and if you want to begin following him, I want to invite you right now to raise your hand in the air. From wherever you're at, I see those hands out there. To just go ahead and raise your hand high, I see these hands. I praise God that you're boldly making this decision. You're making the best decision of your life. With your hands raised right now, I want to invite you to silently pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. You can open your eyes. If you were one of the many people who raised their hand for the first time to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we just want to celebrate. In fact, church, can we just praise God for each one of you that made that decision? There's five next steps I want to encourage you to take. The first one is let us know. At the end of this service, we have gifts up here for people who made a first-time decision. We want to pray with you. Inside of that gift is a Bible. We want to encourage you to start reading your Bible, getting to know God, to begin praying daily, to join a life group. We're going to be launching brand new life groups. And a life group is just a group of people who become friends with each other, who do life with each other, who study the Bible together and grow in Christ together. And then lastly, share Jesus with another. In fact, you have an amazing opportunity to do that. In just a couple weeks, we have one of our favorite events of the year called Sunday Fun Day. It's September 7th here at Purpose Church. We're gonna have food trucks. We're gonna have games. We're gonna have some pickleball going on. That's holy. We're gonna have some bounce houses. It's gonna be an amazing Sunday. We're gonna kick off a brand new series, but this Sunday is specifically geared towards people in your life who don't know Jesus, and we wanna encourage you to invite them to sit with you so that they could experience God. And I've told you this before, I am not interested in us being a big church, but I am passionate and obsessed with one more person following Jesus. Who's your one more? Who's the one more in your life who doesn't know Jesus? Invite them, bring them. We're gonna share the gospel. It's gonna be an amazing Sunday. We've got these flyers available for you whenever you exit. Pick up as many as you want. Invite everyone you know and join us. Now, we're gonna sing one last song together. The song is Greater Still, and it's a powerful song. And here's what I want to invite you to do during this song. In fact, I want to invite you to stand up right now. And as we're worshiping, if there's anything crazy going on in your life, any pain, any challenge, any struggle, our prayer team is going to come up front, and some of our pastors are going to come up front, and we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. And so, Purpose Church, I want to invite you to be bold. To come up front for prayer, to head out to the lobby, write down a prayer, to fill out a prayer request online. We are a praying church and we want to pray for you. And so let's fully experience God together as we pray for each other. And so during this song, I challenge you, I encourage you, be bold, come forward. Let's pray together and let's fully experience God.